Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm Rose Travis.
And this is Chris.
This is Chris, yes.
Yeah.
I have a co-host again, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
I felt so bad for you having to do solo.
Yeah.
That I had to come back.
No, oh, well, thank you.
Well, but you gave me homework.
Yes, I did give you homework. And the reason we decided to do this episode is it was just this past weekend was San Diego Comic-Con 2018.
Oh, that little get-together.
That little thing.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
In front of nobody's.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a lot of stuff that dropped over the weekend. Some of the stuff dropped at Comic-Con, and some of it was just released over the weekend because the companies like to ride that wave of momentum of the Comic-Con. So we're going to talk about all that stuff. I think it was a kind of a big success for DC, which we'll get in all that here in just a minute.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. But before that, there was a little bit of news I wanted to get to. And then also a little bit of, I want to say late breaking news when I wrote these notes down, but this is actually something that came out after Comic-Con, was the Disney-Fox deal.
Finally.
Finally. It is done. It is what it was, you know, a few weeks ago. Comcast, they
pulled out.
You know what they did, right? They did that just to fuck with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we'll bid, and then they're waiting for them to outbid them. Like, okay, no, we're done, we're good.
It's like at the poker table, you keep raising until the pot gets too high,
and then you're like,
you
I'm
feel
done.
Like you're about to lose all your stash. Like, nah, I'm keeping whatever I left.
Or you just really hate the other person. You just want to just jab at them, you know, make them pay more
We've
money.
We've seen enough of Storage Wars. We know how the game works.
Yeah, exactly. It's classic Storage Wars. So anyway, yeah, Comcast was done. So it was that. It was already approved by the government. You know, they said that the I forget which branch of the government, but they said that if this deal goes through, it is approved through there. There's no, because they're worried about
monopolizing, because I think they're going to have 40% of the market,
60%
of the share.
Yeah. So that's the thing that's got approved, and now all the just came out over the weekend that all the Fox shareholders, they also approved. So that's it.
It's made money.
That's it.
Yep.
And Disney, from what I hear, even though that is a shit ton of money, they are very pleased with the deal. So I can't wait to get into the details of that. But
it's funny that we're starting off with this. I actually had this. I should have told you this before you hit the record button. I was wondering if we were going to do a separate podcast on this, because it feels like instead of like Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet, it's just going to be Marvel Cinematic Universe Infinite. It's like it's cool watching Star Wars. Like, they're 9 movies in, but it's generational.
Yeah.
You know, these have been going on for over 30 years. Like, how long is this going to go? Like, do we get to Avengers 12 to where our great-grandkids have to spend, like, half their life watching all 45 movies from the beginning just to realize how we got to the 6 different Captain America?
AMC is going to have to shut down for a week just so they can do the week-long marathon.
Yeah. Like, how far do you take it?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm stoked for it, man. We even did an episode originally when this deal first broke, about all that, and that is in our archives.
Yeah.
So
we went into detail on the properties, the video games, the mashups, what could come down the pike, what we didn't want to see.
One of our listeners did ask us, do you think that we'll finally get an uncut, unaltered, original re-release in the theaters of Star Wars 1977? And I kind of laughed. I kind of joked that I was like, you know, I don't know. No, that's not going to happen, because apparently George Lucas has said for many years that doesn't exist anymore, that they used the original print to make the special editions, and there's no... I was like, I've been calling BS for years. I'm waiting for Disney. Disney's like, here you go.
How many gajillions of dollars will that movie make if they just for like a three-month run? Hey... Relive your youth. Go watch this movie that's 35 years old. Uncut
original.
In like the original film. Like old school film. Not this HD like masterpiece bullshit.
Yeah.
To show it to us raw.
Yeah.
Dude, I'd be all down for that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, so that was just kind of like the latest news thing that I just wanted to get out there on this episode. Because God knows, I don't know when the next time we'll record again. So anyway,
apparently you're allergic to triple digits.
I know, right?
Yeah.
so, like the 20 ranges. So, some other news. I want to start off a little sad news this week. John Schnepp, he passed away. If you don't know who he is, he was just a fellow fan like us, but he also was a director. He was a big movie fan, everything. If you ever heard of the documentary, The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened? Awesome documentary. I watched that a little after it came out, but man, that's so good. The interviews that guy gets, and then he actually showcased, he had some pictures of a final suit that Nicolas Cage was going to wear. In the suit. And it's not the cheesy one that was been floating around the internet for a long time. It's like a legit, it looks pretty cool, you know. But so you can actually, if you go do a search for Death Superman Lives, What Happened, you can actually purchase the Blu-ray and all that stuff online. And yeah, it's very sad. So rest in peace, John Schnepp. Another news that came out, kind of big social media nightmare, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it, but James Gunn.
Oh, James Gunn.
Oh, director of Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't want to tell you that, but man, he was fired straight up by Disney. Fired, just like that. Over some tweets that he did about 10 years ago that he's already, before he even got hired on to Disney, before he even made Guardians 1, he went on and publicly apologized for those tweets. And he says, now,
and apparently I heard these like a kind of a flash mob kind of thing. The old stuff from his past was being brought up again before Volume 2 came out. And he, like, again reiterated apologies. And that didn't stop Disney from releasing Volume 2.
Yeah.
And that didn't stop them from letting him contribute to Infinity War.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, yeah.
So, and this could, this is one of those things. It's one of those tricky things, depending on how you feel about it. But did you read any of those old tweets? Did you see any of those? Because they were supposed to be funny and whatever, but they're very, they're sick. I mean, they're pretty much, but it didn't.
This is
old. This is some like 10 years. People change, and I don't know, man. Go ahead. So
this is coming from the resident asshole of the group. 10 years ago, the environment was different.
Yeah.
20 years ago, 30 years ago, things that people tolerated or thought was entertaining 30, 20, 10 years ago might not necessarily happen then.
Yeah.
So you can't really hold someone's standards now to what was happening at a time where that stuff was okay. And even then, doesn't matter how dark your humor is, as long as there is an audience for it, people will do it.
Yeah.
Now, if he made the decision, hey, you know what? I'm not that kind of guy anymore. You know, I can't show up to freaking like Britney Spears wearing a Metallica shirt. I have to like adapt to the situation. He gets hired by Disney to do Guardians. You know what? The guy that I was is not gonna last in this company, in this environment. Yeah. So I need to do my best to change so that I can further my career, further my personal being.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
And he still got killed for it.
It's like double jeopardy, right? Here's the thing. Like, I want to piggyback off something you just said. You know, 10 years ago is a different environment. So was Twitter 10 years. Twitter 10 years ago was, there's a lot of, that was an outlet for comedians to go and test out a lot of material and see what worked, what didn't work. And if you go back and look at a lot of stand-up comedians who work Blue or, you know, anything like that.
Roseanne.
They, well, that's another, we'll get to that here in just a second. But that's one of those things where, like you said, there might be an audience for it, may not be an audience for it. But regardless of the fact, he's a changed person now, and he's being punished for something for someone he was 10 years ago, after he's already come out and apologized for it. Now, Disney, I guess in their point of view, they had to look at it as a PR perspective, and they said, hey, someone went to the trouble of finding these and putting them out there and everything, and they said, okay, well, we don't tolerate that. We're Disney. It's a family company, whatever. So you're done. You're out.
Define PR. Because you and I, for this topic, might have a different idea of the terminology of PR. This is not public relations. This is political relations. When you've got somebody that doesn't agree with what Orange is the New Black on the top of our country thinks, and he's got his own hitmen that are going to look and start taking out people that don't agree with his agenda, that don't agree with his policy, that don't agree with the propaganda, and that's exactly what happened to him. Disney looks at, for example, the National Football League, and Donald Trump tells all of his constituents, Yeah, people that don't bend the knee for the national anthem, get them the fuck out of my country, get them the fuck off my television.
Well, I mean, so when you have country, but
so you would think Disney, a multi damn near trillion
right now.
Well, eventually, once this deal goes through,
yeah.
Which is a coincidence that this happened before the deal finalized.
That's another point I was going to make was they didn't want, they probably didn't want any.
Do you want Trump supporters to actually burn you down with pitchforks and knives the way they're like hassling the NFL? Which oddly enough, last season was the NFL's most profitable season with all this drama. But yet Disney didn't want to even take the first step in that battle. They just said, you know what, we're just going to cut James. Sorry, buddy. May the force be with you.
Well, here's the thing. You can make comparisons to what happened to Roseanne not too long ago, but I think it is two separate situations. But it's one of those things where Disney, as a company, you can't play favorites, I guess. And when something like this happens, well, we fired her, we got to fire him. But they, I don't think they were looking at. They weren't thinking.
Well, the biggest difference isn't the time. The difference is.
Well, that is a factor
the,
too.
The difference is the opinion. James Gunn, what he said, regardless of the time frame, was his attempt at humor.
Right.
What Roseanne said most recently is what Roseanne truly feels right now. It's her opinion. It's not an attempt of humor. It's her speaking her mind. It just so happened that her opinion didn't go well with the people that was listening to it.
Devil's advocate. Devil's advocate. It could have been her attempt at humor as well, too. Regardless, yeah. Both situations, the similarities between those, is it didn't work either way on both of those fronts.
But it sucks that we're in a civilization right now where you can't clean the slate.
Oh, yeah.
Once you're done, dude, 50 years from now, you're still fucked. Don't worry about it. Don't even bother. Just stay being an asshole because it doesn't, you know, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife, basically.
Yeah. Well,
you might as well just keep hoeing around. You know? But it sucks, dude, because as much as we like the Marvel Cinematic Universe right now, I think Gunn's contribution to it is probably what ascended it to the next level with Guardians, because that came completely out of left field. That was for all intents and purposes, to the general audience, that was a nothing franchise.
Oh, yeah.
To the general audience. Yeah. And he made it as high, if not higher, than Thor, Captain America, yeah. Iron Man. The whole ensemble of the Avengers.
Yeah.
You know, because people kept talking about it.
Right.
And I was...
I said it from day one, from when I saw it. They made their own Star Wars.
Yeah.
Flat out. I mean, mm-hmm. regardless of Marvel, the MCU. So mm-hmm. to take Guardians as itself, that's your own Star Wars universe you just created mm-hmm. flat out for a new generation.
Yeah.
And he continued that with Guardians 2, which I said before, and I don't care too much for the second one. But hey, that's just... but both of them are a good package.
They're essential, yeah.
And then you see him in Infinity War and his input in that. And now I think he finished the script for Guardians 3. The funny thing is, on all this, the reason I wanted to mention this was, you know, Disney, they fired him as to avoid any kind of issues with PR or anything like that. But it's kind of had an opposite effect of what they're going for. Now people are actually mad that he got fired for something he did, you know, 10 years ago and apologized for. And it's because some people are saying it's kind of scary. You know, if you can get in trouble for something that you did I hate the fact that I'm seeing people get in trouble for a tweet. It just sounds stupid. It just sounds asinine. Like I tweeted and I got fired. What? Yeah. You know, this is one of those things. But all that aside, if, you know, because there's petitions right now to get him rehired. I don't think Disney's going to do that. I wouldn't. You never know. They get a lot of backlash for this firing.
If I'm putting on the white hat as somebody that works for a corporation. If they really understand the contributions that he made, I wouldn't be surprised if he's back in by the end of the month. They basically just did this to, like, hey man, this is probably the biggest deal Disney will ever get. We can't screw this up. Yeah. We can't taint this. We can't have the smallest of monkey wrenches thrown in at the last possible moment by some right wingers I don't know politics that much. I don't know what side these crazies are on. They're all Cheeto munchers. I don't know where that side came from, but we can't have anything thrown in the last minute. So we're going to just fire you publicly. Right. wink, wink. Mm-hmm. Once there's ink to paper and it dries,
yeah,
we'll leave the back door open for you and we'll leave a key under the mat.
I'm kind of thinking that too.
You know, and I'm hoping that.
Yeah.
You know, because again, like you and I both, you've been there or I am there in a company that has that same policy. If I do something crazy on Twitter, doesn't matter whether it's in context or out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to save face, they probably just did that to appease whatever shareholders might have had a problem with it.
Yeah.
And then once now that it's done, what the fucking Fox do?
Right.
We got your shit. You know. So and then we just bring James Dolan, and that's perfect timing where they can literally just admit it's like, hey, we heard your criticism. We had the criticism from the beginning.
Yeah.
We're not gonna let a loud minority
mm-hmm.
dictate what we do as a company. So we did XYZ. So that we can cover our end to make sure we can close our deals. And now that all our deals are done, please welcome back James Gunn.
Right.
By the way, Volumes of the Galaxy Volume 3 is going to introduce Silver Surfer. Whee! There we go. That'll, you know what? For all the loud comic book fans, that'll shut them up real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You balance the negative with a very sweet positive, they're going to forget that negative in like 30 seconds.
All right. So, all right, one more thing. I think this dropped right before San Diego Comic-Con was new updates for the Joker movie starring Joaquin Phoenix.
That's still a thing.
That is still a thing.
That's a big thing because it's supposed to come out next year.
October 19th, 2019. Yeah. Excuse me. October 4th, 2019. But yeah, man, they're ready to go. And, I'm kind of digging this. The more I'm hearing about it, there was a graphic novel that came out just called Joker. It was written by Brian Azzaretto. I can't remember. I'm butchering his last name. But anyway, the looks of Joker in that graphic novel, I can definitely see Joaquin Phoenix as that particular character. But this is going to be 1985-ish New York settings, Gotham, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be tied into anything. It's just a standalone movie. I'm digging this, and I'm just kind of curious to see how it's going to look and feel. I don't know. Do you have any? Have you looked into this, or what are your thoughts on this?
Haven't looked too much into this. I forget which Batman animated movie it was that delved into the gangster that was doing what he needed to do to protect his wife and to put food on the table. And getting exposed to a life of crime that turned him into who he is.
The Killing Joke.
Killing Joke.
Yeah.
If there's a way that they can, not so much adapt it page for page, obviously, but if that's like the origins that they're going with Joaquin Phoenix, dude, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you don't, it's one of, it's Batman's biggest rival. But at the same time, I would be curious to see if there's anything there in his personal and not in his origin that proves that there's something there worth saving.
Yeah.
You know, especially right now the it's like a renaissance. The anti-hero is in the come up again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like Harley Quinn, grew up watching Batman animated series. She's the quintessential bad girl, you know, the sidekick to the main villain, and now all of a sudden she's like one of the main heroes for DC superheroes in the women's side. So to give an investment to the character and the origin of the Joker for that, I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm curious. They got my attention for sure.
Yeah.
I know originally when this movie came out, it was they said that Martin Scorsese was going to be the producing it or something, but I think that was just rumors. I haven't really heard anything else since that, and no other casting to my knowledge other than Joaquin being Joker. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, they got my attention. They got my curiosity.
They're eventually going to get your money.
Yeah. So, that's going to be next year, 2019. Oh, that was another thing about that movie. It's a very small budget. It's like $55 million, which is really cool because that means there's no
CGI, nothing out of the ordinary.
Not just a loss.
Focus,
it's not gonna be.
Focus more on the story and not a presentation.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what they should have been doing, man. That's what they should have been doing this whole time, but whatever. Okay. So, on to that kind of brings us over to other DC stuff, because I believe from San Diego Comic-Con, I do believe DC was kind of like the all-star for this year.
They saw an opening and they took the spotlight. This year was the year where, you know, with the Infinity War killing off half the people, unless they would have had a fucking panel and half the panelists were just dust.
Yeah, right.
You know, and with the whole Disney deal going on, they didn't want to leak too much, so that they like pretty much left the table made for DC. Is like, here, let's see if you cannot screw this up.
Yeah,
and in my opinion, I think the positives far outweigh the negatives as far as what they released on the DC side, as far as what they brought to the table.
Well, one of the things that they had said ahead of time was at Comic-Con, there is going to be a trailer for Aquaman. So, let's talk about that for a second, shall we? What are your initial thoughts after seeing Aquaman trailer?
My initial thoughts, before Jason Momoa even came into the first in this Justice League movie, for all intents and purposes, in the vast world of pop culture, Aquaman was like the least coolest of the fucking Justice League. Even fucking episodes of Big Bang.
He was the punchline.
Yeah, he was the punchline. Yeah. Now, and dude, Justice League was a great appetizer. I take it back. Game of Thrones was a great appetizer. Justice League was a good like drive-through meal. But now that you're actually you're getting paid and you're going to sit at the table, you're going to have people bring you water. They're going to bring you a cooked food, cooked meal with a plate. Dude, fucking Aquaman fucking rules, dude. I am all in on Aquaman. It's weird that you can tell an origin story grounded enough that you can believe it.
Well, okay, I'm gonna put a pause on that one.
Go, hit me with the rebuttal.
Well, you're saying grounded, and as much as what I saw I liked, grounded isn't a word I'm going to use to describe Aquaman. Not as a negative.
Yeah.
I'm going to say as a positive. Grounded ain't
grounded ain't it? What would you use?
Man, almost like world building in a way, man. It's like, first of all, James Wan. I'm a huge fan of James Wan as a director. He's done
name off a few movies.
The Conjuring, Insidious, all those movies. Yeah, he did the Fast and Furious 7, I think. The one Paul Walker, that one. And he did... there's a really good movie he did. I think it was called Death Sentence. It was kind of like, without being called Punisher, it was basically Punisher, you know? So, but he's done all kinds of stuff. And so you say James Wan, you're going to have my attention already. And yeah, like we were just saying, Aquaman was kind of the punchline.
The bitch of the Justice League.
Not even that. It was just more... Super Friends was so well known in the 80s. It was just like that's, and you, it's the you see it's the jokes of the him talking to fish, and that's what everybody knows him for. You know, is Robot Chicken did a whole they did a, every time they do DC stuff, Aquaman is the brunt of all the jokes pretty much. But then you cut to the comics, even back in the 90s, they've always tried to update him for that new generation. Back in the 90s, he grew his hair out, got a beard, his hand got cut off, or got eaten off, I think, by piranhas or something. And he had a hook for a hand. He had the armored, he had more like armored or scaled armor clothing and stuff.
Yeah.
And they kind of deep diving in that, and no pun intended. But then
they manned him up again for this New 52, right?
The New 52 was a really big kind of a reboot for him. And if I'm not mistaken, I know they're taking a lot of cues from New 52 into this movie, which is fine. I mean, I think a lot of people were kind of hung up when they first saw Justice League Aquaman with the... It's Jason Momoa as Aquaman. Like, that's straight up. It's not... That's not your
it's
typical...
Drago that swims.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the blonde hair or anything like that.
Yeah.
But we kind of... We saw Justice League, and I know for myself, I was surprised about how much... I was like, hey, I kind of want to see more... of what this guy's doing with this character, you know?
I'll give DC credit where it's due. This is two for two. They gave me a good tease for Wonder Woman that made me plunk down money for her solo movie when it came out.
Yeah.
They gave me enough of a good vibe with Momoa and Justice League that I'm ready opening weekend to see what this is going to end up like as Aquaman at the theater.
And so that's enough of that. But some of the stuff that I saw in this trailer, this is what's got me. First of all, We see a lot of Atlantis, the city itself. We see lots of battle scenes. We see men riding armored sharks. Yeah. You want to talk about grounded? bitch, that ain't grounded at all. But I want to see that.
The part where if we take a couple steps back, where I meant grounded was his origin story.
Yeah,
the opening scene where he's in the aquarium and the kid, the shark's like, holy crap, that fucking Jaws actually saved the kid. I was like, okay, I can believe that.
Yeah,
it's plausible to if you're watching it now. But the fight scenes are fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah, Black Manta. I was not expecting to see the traditional kind of dome, like oval dome with the big red eyes.
Goldfish-looking thing. Yeah.
Dude, I don't know if you remember, but before Dawn of Justice came out, and we're breaking down the trailer for that, there's always a shot that I saw in there where we see Batman on the ledge, and he has his grappling hook, and he shoots, and he zips off. I was like, dude, that's fucking right out of the comics. I had the same reaction when I saw Black Manta. I was like, holy shit, that's fucking Black Manta.
Help me out here, because I'm not as keen on the DC side of things. I thought Black Manta was Martian Manhunter's rival.
No, he's always been Aquaman.
Okay.
Yeah, he's that. But there's going to be two enemies in this one. The Black Manta obviously is one. And then Prince Orn, that's his brother, Patrick Wilson plays him, and he's a big James Wan guy. Like, he's in a lot of his movies too. So
it's funny that you gravitated to the Black Mantis the first time. I noticed something that got my attention.
Okay,
there's
Amber Heard in that suit, in that little tight suit that she's wearing.
I knew it was Amber Heard. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
No, there was a quick, like, 1 second shot of a black dude putting on like a helmet, like kind of from a military style, like. Get up.
I'm not sure. I have to see.
You might have to rewatch it. I'm thinking, holy crap! Did they just tease Jon Stewart?
Oh, I don't see why he'd be in this one. No. And if they won't tease it in the trailer. No.
Well, it's not obviously. It's not the fucking. He doesn't have a ring on or anything. But you know, I'm noticing that DC is starting to dip their toes a little in slowly, like, introducing people into the universe.
Well, we're gonna get to that. Hold that thought.
Got you.
But before we do that, before we move on, thumbs up, thumbs down for Aquaman.
Dude, three thumbs up. I don't know where that third one's coming
from.
I don't want to know
where you're... Okay. So, all right. I think we agree. We're on board right now with Aquaman. It just looks epic. I think that's the word I was looking for. You said... We're talking about Brandon. I said epic.
It's weird, though.
Underwater Star Wars. Eh?
As optimistic as I am for Aquaman... That's not the one that's doing it for me.
Okay. There's another trailer that dropped.
Shazam. Is doing it for me.
Really? Okay, go ahead. I want to hear this.
Because, right. Again, we just ran on about how Aquaman was the butt of the freaking Justice League jokes for all eternity. Basically, Frowny Face and Darkness has been the punchline of this entire DC animated universe.
Animated, yeah.
Right. I mean, DC movie universe. Yeah. So to have... Shazam and Levi just like ham it up and be like, oh hey, by the way, I'm a superhero, how you doing, you know. It's like I feel like we needed this somewhere before the whole Justice League came out, like a little bit of like sweetness to all this sour.
We need a lot of stuff before Justice League.
Yeah. But it feels like, okay, so everybody says that we're just grim, dark, and depressing and we cut our wrists and shit, let's give them Shazam. And Shazam just made me gave me an 8-year-old shit eating grin. I love Shazam, dude, and that's another example where, again, I'm not keen on DC, so I don't know a lot of these origin stories.
Right.
For me, as a DC casual looking in, it's unique and authentic enough for that story that I'm curious to see where it goes.
Okay.
And you give me Mark Strong as a villain. Yeah.
Okay.
Who should have been Lex Luthor? Mark Strong would have made a badass Lex Luthor.
Okay, man, I'll give you that. All right, so...
So hit me with it. You that knows.
I'm just going to say it. Zachary Levi, he looks weird in the suit. Like, there's something... I mean, I can't...
His muscles are not that big.
But
it's overly done, but it feels like it works, because that's like... What a kid would feel like if you're a kid thinking you're going to be a superhero, that's what a kid envisions a superhero to be like. Over muscular, over big. He even walks out like he just came out of the gym, like his arms are all stretched out but bent down.
Well, okay, yeah. Like, I get the tone and the vibe they're going for. It's basically the movie Big with comic books, superheroes. Mm-hmm. That's basically what it is. But he looked weird. It's like it's not even like they're not even trying to me. It's just, I don't know what to say. And
that I think you just summed it up.
It's weird.
Every DC movie that's been in this timeline, they're trying so hard to make something and turn it into nothing. You just said they're not even trying. That's kind of the whole point. Like, they're not trying to do something that everybody is expecting them to do. And it feels like a breath of... The 1-2 punch of Aquaman and Shazam feel like a breath of fresh air compared to all the things we've gotten.
Yeah.
Even Wonder Woman, as great as it was to see a woman in the lead and a great story. Again, we've been back to it several times. That third act basically is the whole DC movie verse.
Right.
You know? So these two back to back, it's like the tide for me is starting to shift a little as far as okay, I can start enjoying DC for what it is and I don't have to take it too seriously, because it shows like they know that they can when they want to, they don't have to take it too seriously either. Yeah. You know? And it works.
I hope it works. I'm gonna watch it, obviously.
Yeah.
But to your point, what you're saying about the you know, how he is and everything, I do want to see Shazam as what we saw in the trailer. I want to see this character meet up with Superman, and I want to see how that plays out, or him and Batman. Yeah, I do want to see that.
And and I love how they introduced that Shazam's actually in this movie verse, because in the kid's bedroom, he has one of those batarangs mounted. And I was like, they pulled out the drawer and all the newspapers.
Yeah,
Superman, Wonder Woman. I was like, dude, that's a subtle way of letting people know instead of just like throwing it in your face. Like,
he's definitely going to be in the second Justice League movie whenever they do that. But
are you a fan of Baby Tobey Maguire as the kid?
Baby Tobey Maguire. Oh,
he just I look at him and I was like, oh great, Tobey Maguire's got a kid.
He didn't. You know what? The Billy Batson.
Billy Batson. Batson.
He didn't bother me. I didn't have any. Everything else I saw, I thought it was. It was pointed.
You're
out.
Making faces, so it's like something's not settling.
I was talking to our boy Xavier about this trailer. He made a really good point. Something that just rubbed us both the wrong ways on this trailer was when the convenience store scene. And the robber shoots him, and he says, "Yeah, bullet immunity."
Yeah.
Who says that? Say you're bulletproof. Like
millennials trying to impress each other with their big vocabulary.
Right. It's like whenever they do a new Spider-Man movie, and they can't say "with great power comes great responsibility." They got to word it some other weird way.
You know, you're kind of a big deal, so you have to act like it.
Yeah. That's on Spider-Man 7. Spider-Man 7 will get
put that on a fucking shirt.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just, yeah, I'm going to watch it, but I'll be like, low expectations going into the whole movie. And they have to work to impress me on that one. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Shazam, out of all characters, is getting the Belden treatment.
I will say, I will say that, this one does appear to be more of a straight-up adaptation of the New 52 Shazam title. Mm-hmm. So if anybody is looking to see where they're going with this, they could probably pull that up, maybe the first volume or something of the trade, and check it out. Because there's a lot of... you can actually see it online already. There's people already doing like screen-by-screen comparisons of different things we've already seen. So anyway, so that's it on that. Moving along from that... you said something earlier about keeping it all in the DC universe and everything else. There was some news that dropped in San Diego Comic-Con that hasn't really made like wide announcements everywhere, but it was something that was released, was that DC or Warner Brothers actually has an official name for the DC movies now. You know, because that DCEU thing... that was just something somebody made up, and everybody ran with it. DC has never called it that officially. We do have a new official title for what
for the DC chronological movies. Title of movies. Yeah.
Have you heard? Have you?
No. Remember? Okay. I have no idea what you're gonna hit me with.
All right. The Worlds of DC.
I like it.
I like it too, and let me tell you why. It frees them up to do whatever the hell they want to do without the confines of tying in everything to the Snyder vision.
Yeah.
You can have your Joker movie set in 85 New York in a totally different universe than what Justice League is way over here.
Redo Jonah Hex in the 60s?
You can do everything, whatever. You could, and the cool thing about this also is it opens up to more possibilities of what DC used to have, the Elseworlds titles, where it was just like just crazy ideas that or graphic novels that just didn't tie into anything. You know, you had like your Gotham by Gaslight, the Batman, where he's like a steampunk Batman. You can have that in your own universe. Shit,
they did Batman Ninja for in the animated side.
Yeah, yeah. So you can. That's why I'm liking this so much, and it frees up the criticism of
everything's dark.
Yeah, exactly. I'm digging that so much, and I think that it's such a smart move. You know, Warner Brothers now has a new guy in charge of the DC, something Amata. I can't remember his first name, but this is the new. He's not particularly Feige per se. I guess he'd be equivalent to Feige, but in a weird different capacity, because it's Warner Brothers, it's structured different. Well, whatever. But he's come on. He said, yeah, this is a shitstorm that I walked into. But I think he's kind of finding the right pieces.
Navigating shortcuts and getting things around.
Naming it something. Give it a name. Worlds of DC. We're done. We got that. That gives us a starting point. Let's go to San Diego Comic-Con. Marvel's not going to be there. What are we going to do? Okay, I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to announce a slate of 20 movies that got canceled all at the same fucking time. So, we have Shazam.
What do we have on hand that we can give them?
Shazam,
something tangible.
Aquaman, Wonder Woman. Go. You know, and that's all you need. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there wasn't any huge announcements. I would have liked to see who's playing Batman. But other than that, from what we got...
Well, for the movie, for the worlds of DC, the movies.
Yeah.
We didn't get any bigger announcements other than those three movies.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's all you need to kind of not hit the reset button on everything, but at least, you know, kind of course correct, you know, and
get back on track.
Get back on track.
Get back on the rails.
And let people know that, hey, this isn't as bad as...
We're not fumbling anymore. We're running in the right direction.
Yeah, we know what we did. We know what we could have done. We know what we're going... Now we know...
This is how we're fixing it, and this is what we have.
Yeah.
And I hope you like it.
And I don't see anything bad that came out of this year for DC anyways.
Who doesn't want to see the next Wonder Woman movie?
Yeah, and they did get some extra footage at San Diego. They didn't release it. It's not like posted anywhere, but there was some new footage. Of course, if you don't know, Wonder Woman 84, that's the next movie.
Kristen Wiig is Cheetah.
Yeah, I don't know how that's gonna. I'm iffy on that one. I'm kind of worried about it. I don't know how that's gonna play out. But I like Kristen Wiig.
So do I.
But I just don't know how she's gonna do that. So yeah, Wonder Woman 84 obviously takes place in the 80s. I'm kind of curious about that. We obviously, that picture of Chris Pine, of him in the mall, like somewhere. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but we'll figure that out, I guess. So, yeah, Worlds of DC, that's the new marketing. I don't know when they're officially going to announce it publicly, but that's what was announced at San Diego Comic-Con. So, okay, so another, before we get into some other stuff here, the main event of the DC stuff, I want to talk about quickly the DC animated side of things. They did announce their slate of animated movies.
Mm-hmm. And those never get canceled. If that's on a list, it's coming.
Here we go. Death of Superman.
Which is already out. iTunes already has it.
I saw it last night. It's...
I just need your thumbs up. I'll buy it like right now while we record and I have it downloading at home.
If you've... Okay, have you seen Superman...
I've seen Superman Doomsday.
Okay. Vastly improved.
Ooh.
From Superman. Okay. They've had 10 years of knowing what they're doing with that. My only critique and criticism of this is I wanted a more classic visuals from the 90s, but they did the New 52 style, so everything's more stylized, like War, the Throne of Atlantis,
and
all these other
animated
movies.
And that animated movie verse, I like all the voices so far. Like I like.
Okay,
but it's new to me. So I obviously nothing's gonna fucking replace Kevin Conroy. But
Jason O'Hara, O'Mara,
O'Mara.
He does all right. He's still back as
yes.
Now we do have Nathan Fillion returning as Green Lantern. Rosario Dawson as Wonder Woman. We have Chris O'Donnell as Superman, which I thought was kind of weird. And someone else looks, but some of the voices got on my nerves. Lex Luthor, he was too whiny the whole movie. I didn't like some of the stuff they did with his character in the movie. But and they did set up. They did it right this time. They did have the Doomsday versus Justice League leading up to Superman coming in to save, you know, fight him and everything. Mm-hmm. In the midst of all that, they did plant seeds for Reign of the Superman. Mm-hmm. They did introduce some certain characters. Mm-hmm. They ended it up where it is obviously a two-parter. It's going to be not finished yet. So the next one, and this next slate here is Reign of the Superman is the mm-hmm. next movie. There is already a trailer that you can see online for it.
Okay.
So again, it's taken all of the subject matter and this updating the looks of everything. Yeah.
Adam.
So we have the next one after that, Justice League versus Fatal Five. It's
new to me.
Okay.
Talk to me about Batman Hush.
Batman Hush. Adaptation of a really, really great Jim Lee story. It was a storyline by Jim Lee and Jeff Loeb, who was basically Batman versus his rogues gallery. You know, it was a pretty epic storyline. I really enjoyed it. Of course, I'm a huge, huge fan of Jim Lee. So anything he's going to do, I'm there. So there's that. And lastly, announced was Wonder Woman Bloodlines. Only thing we know about that is it's an original movie. It's not an adaptation or a previously in the story. So yeah, so that's pretty much it, man, on the animation side of things, which is kind of cool. I'm glad that they actually announced we know what's coming out. I'm still a big fan of the animation stuff. Sometimes they get too anime for me on the designs.
Yeah.
It feels
like an American colonized version of anime.
Look,
I'm a fan of it at times, but I can see where people that are used to a traditional animation style.
It's kind of like when Marvel did the anime thing a few years ago with the Blade, Iron Man, Wolverine, X-Men. Yeah. It's kind of like that, but more.
It takes a bit to used to. And by now, if you don't like it, you're not going to like it. Yeah. And if you like it, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
Basically.
I will say this. They have, you know, before they did the Flashpoint Paradox and they started over with the war and all that mm-hmm. stuff, at least when from war on, it's been consistent with the animation.
Quality.
Whereas before, and you could take this as a positive and negative, you never knew what you were going to get because they would do different styles of animation based on the artwork.
Because they didn't know which way they wanted to go. Like Batman Superman Apocalypse was different from Batman Superman Public Enemy, which was different from Superman versus the Elite, which was different from everything.
Yeah.
But the
reason I like that was because they were basing the artwork the animation on the artwork of the artist that did those stories.
Did it work for Killing Joke?
Oof. That is an outlier. That's an outlier.
That's the outlier
of everything.
Okay, that's the exception to the rule.
Yeah, but I mean, all those, I can see where it'd be weird, you know, going back and seeing the different animations. But I kind of like that variety, and plus, I know the source material where they're taking it, where they're getting it from. Yeah. So I appreciated all that, but I kind of appreciate the consistency with, hey, this is a one big epic, you know, thing that they're telling here. So
we could tie off the animation side of DC with a quick 30-second review.
I just saw
Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Okay.
Me, myself, and I, all the voices in my head, we are not fans of musicals.
Okay.
And I did not know it was one. Most musicals, halfway through, it stops to be a musical and starts being a movie.
Yeah.
Other than that, it is a animated PG version of Deadpool. And you will...
Okay.
And the cameo that's in this movie is going to come straight out of left field. Because I had no idea. I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing here? If you want to get spoiled, it's on Wikipedia. The whole story is on there in the movie page.
Yeah.
If you don't want to get spoiled, then just stay away from the fucking internet because geeks are evil. And
you don't want to talk.
I know, Rash. That's like pot calling the kettle black. But it's definitely worth a watch. Hell, I might even watch it again. It's funny to say that right now it's in the top three of like as far as like the best DC movies that are out since 2010.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Grimdark. And then you get Teen Titans Go. I was like, okay.
So, what if we take Teen Titans, get rid of the teen, make it R, and say, fuck Batman? I'm referring to, of course, Titans, the trailer.
This is the part of the show where not every DC at-bat is a home run. This was, to me, a legit strikeout.
Legit? Okay, yeah, fair enough. That's yeah. That's pretty much it. I mean,
I'm trying to find the words to like eloquently explain my situation, but there's certain it feels like they don't want to let go of the darkness. You know, Smallville wasn't dark, Flash isn't dark.
It's almost like Warner Brothers in DC was like, "Hey, boss, people are saying our stuff's too dark." Oh yeah, hold my beer. You know, it's like, what? And the funny thing is, this comes on the heels of Teen Titans Go to the Movie, where you already have that built-in fan base for Teen Titans Go, and all Teen Titans as a cartoon.
It has an audience. It serves its purpose.
About 10 years or so, yeah. You know, 10-15 years. Now, that being said, devil's advocate, I know that Teen Titans in the comics back in the 80s...
was grittier.
It was a little bit grittier. Mm-hmm. At one point, they even lost the teen part of it, yeah. You know.
And Starfire was black then, too, so before people started running...
Well, I don't know about all that.
But, coming from the white guy, of course, yeah.
That's, you know, you know what? People have already criticized that.
We'll let that go.
Yeah. But, man, I saw this. I didn't know what to think of it, man. Robin, like, straight up, like, snapping a dude's neck by stepping on it.
Yeah.
Fuck Batman. It's like, killing criminals with their own weapons, you know.
That looks like some... I was like, holy crap, is this the origin story for the Red Hood? Oh, wait, it's Robin. Fuck. Wrong R.
Yeah.
Maybe, devil's advocate, if this was a show about Nightwing instead of Titans, I could buy everything I saw about Robin. Maybe. And that's loose.
Here's one of the thoughts that I had.
Go.
That scene that we saw in the trailer of him killing mofos and cussing out Batman, I think that might be a vision or a dream or something that he's having about his worst
case scenario.
What's this job done to him type of thing. Something. I can't picture that's Robin.
Especially when the next scene, Raven and Robin are in, and Dick Grayson are in that room, and she's trying to ask him for help, and he's like laid back and calm and smiles, and is like, oh, you got a nice little rack there, Raven. You know, and the next scene.
This ain't called Teen Titans.
I know. It's like, right, you're of age.
This trailer dropped. For the announcement of the DC Universe. It's the new streaming service.
The network.
Yeah, the DC network pretty much.
The network wants it a certain way. The network will tell you what you think you should watch.
But it's coming out this fall. And of course, they use San Diego Comic-Con as a big marketing tool to get the word out.
And again, another positive from DC taking advantage of all that space and saying, hey, we got a network coming. Be ready.
Dude, I was talking to one of my coworkers about this for at least a good few days about just that DC Universe. We're talking about the pros and cons. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? I mean, what are we getting? What are we not getting? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're going to have my money for at least a month. You know, I'm not going to pluck down $75 for over, you know, for a year. Or, excuse me, a year and like 3 months or something for the promotional whatever they did. But $7.99 monthly. And for that, you're getting, what, 3 or 4, original... Exclusive. Live action series. You're having the entire comic book catalog that you can read up on the screen, whatever.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's
Batman, interesting. Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond,
which is going to be released in high definition,
4K.
Yeah, 4K in October.
You know all the basic. You know the Superman 90s cartoon. All those. I'm sure. Oh, and also they said the Batman movie franchises, the Superman movie franchises. I'm sure that they're going to have like Wonder Woman, the TV show, like, I'm waiting for them to say Batman, the 60s, you know, that.
66.
Anything that's DC related that they have access to, I would imagine.
Dean Cain, Superman?
Yeah, that was Lois and Clark? Yeah,
Lois and Clark. Nice. I have a warm spot in my heart for that.
Do you? Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm definitely gonna try it out. You know, I've already signed up for their.
They announced Batman Beyond.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Batman Beyond, Batman and Superman, and I'm sure Justice League is in there too. The mm-hmm. animated series. So, oh, and I think all the animated movies also up to date. Yeah.
Ooh,
so for $8 a month, HD quality, you know, 4K and everything, dude. I mean, it's DC. If you like DC, if you like their content, forget what you know. Forget about the.
If you're getting too worn out by Marvel, you just need a break.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of curious about the comic book library because they said everything from Action Comics number one all the way to Rebirth.
Wow.
Everything. So, and they're going to have like a comic reader that you can go on your TV screen or whatever and you can...
Okay.
The way I read it is like kind of like a motion comic type thing, like what Marvel was doing for a while. Something like that.
Oh,
I,
like Marvel Knights? Kind of?
Yeah, those things.
Yeah.
But also just like a comiXology where you can also mm-hmm. just read the comics also. So, man, hey, but yeah, I just think that the Titans trailer was the wrong way to initially say, here's what we're doing.
You know what would have done it?
Hmm.
Young Justice Outsiders.
You're damn right. You just stole my thunder, motherfucker. Yeah, Young Justice. I've been saying from day one.
Day zero.
I said, once I heard Young Justice Season 3 was hitting that DC universe, I'm like,
shut up and take my money.
You have my $7.99, motherfucker.
You got me by the balls here.
I don't care
They're
about...
They're blue. Help
I don't,
me.
I don't care about Titans. I don't care about the past shit. I'm seeing
now.
Young Justice Season 3. They had the trailer for it. It was like a five-minute thing. It was like the first half was like a recap of how it ended.
Yeah.
And then we cut to...
Like literally the first scene of the first episode, it felt like.
Yeah.
Like the first 3 minutes.
Yeah. So
damn, it's got me.
Yeah, dude. Animation is still there. It sounds like it's got the voice talent. It's all still there. So, yeah, dude. Regardless of the other content, I'm going to have it for at least a month to watch Young Justice.
Binge it.
And I don't know. That's another thing. I don't know how their business model is. Like, is it going to be Netflix style where everything is on there all at once?
Or Amazon where it's weekly?
Yeah. Or Hulu or WWE Network. It's all like week to week, you know? Yeah. It'd be smart.
These listeners don't know what WWE Network is.
The smart thing would be week to week, I would think. Mm-hmm. You know, let people wait it out.
Let people pay more than just a month.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
see if everything else that you have on the network is working.
Or
hook them.
Or if you have patience, wait about 3 or 4 months.
And then binge it all when it's done.
Yeah, yeah. So
I would like to think that this network service will come out before before Young Justice does so that you'll have time to refresh yourself with the first two seasons.
Yeah. I'm hoping Young Justice
before,
is on there. Yeah.
Before you give them the third one.
Yeah. So. Yeah, dude. I'm looking forward to it. I just, if anything, I'm hoping that it's... The service works out for one, and that they have a good interface. I hope it's user friendly, easy to get to, easy access.
Question.
Yeah.
When does it become too much? Hulu, Amazon, Netflix, WWE Network, for me, New Japan Network, DC, Disney's going to have their own thing going. Disney's going to have their own thing going. Now DC has theirs. The whole point of cutting cable is because it was too fucking expensive. Now, like, you're buying stuff a la carte, and a la carte is a lot more than just if you would have just bought the fucking buffet to begin with.
Yeah.
When does it become too much, all these streaming services?
Well, this is a topic for a whole other episode, but I will say that it's all optional, you know? Some things have more movies than others. Some have more TV shows. I will say... One of the side effects of this Disney Fox deal is I think that this might be the beginning of the end for Hulu. Fox has a big share of, or I think they own it or something, Hulu.
68%, 70%?
Yeah, something like that.
Hulu.
So with Disney about to release their own streaming service, their own network, why do we need Hulu? Like, Hulu's their own competition now. Like, Fox, you know, anything that was Fox is now Disney.
It's right now Netflix, Hulu, and...
Amazon.
And YouTube Red starting to be on the come up. Live TV?
Not
YouTube
really.
Live? No? You don't think so?
Mm-mm. No. It had its moment of glory for Cobra Kai. for me anyways.
Got you.
But now, because I signed up for a month to get the free trial, right? Mm-hmm. And then right before I expired, I canceled it, they sent me an email and it says, hey, our membership's about to go up to $14.99 a month.
Oh, fuck!
But since you're already in, you'll be grandfathered in. You'll keep your same price. I was like, you're a brand new service, you know, and you're already
hiking up,
you know. And really, the only thing I would need YouTube Red for would be the ad free stuff.
Yeah,
you know, because after the month of not having ads. Now having ads again, I'm like, what is this?
And it's not letting you skip after 5 seconds. God damn you!
Yeah. Those are the worst, aren't they? I don't have all 15 seconds. All right, so I think that sums up the DC side of things. Like I said, I thought that they were the MVP of the San Diego Comic-Con this year. Marvel was there in some capacity.
I loved the concept of the... coping with loss. They had a little counseling station for anyone that was traumatized by the ending of Infinity War.
Really?
Counseling, we got you covered.
Oh, Jesus.
It was, again, it's stuff like that. Yeah. That's out of the box.
Yeah.
The animatronics for Deadpool, where they had Deadpool's band, and it was basically like the Chuck E. Cheese band, but all disguised as, like, they all had X-Men outfits and Deadpool was the senior. And
of course.
Marvel still had a presence, but they didn't leave a footprint.
But they had their... they had Marvel TV there. Like, they're doing their promotional stuff for The Gifted, and they had a trailer for the new season of Gifted. Mm-hmm. I think Cloak and Dagger was... They did some stuff with them, too. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., were they there? I can't remember if they were there or not, but...
I'll tell you who wasn't there. The Inhumans.
Yeah. On the Marvel side of things, Venom. The cast and crew and the director of Venom was there. And we got a few new tidbits of that about what's going on, who the enemy is, who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. Tom Hardy was saying that this is not tied to MCU at all. There is no Spider-Man at all. Don't be expecting none of that. I think one of the villains is going to be another symbiote. Is going to be Riot. Yeah. So I guess we're not getting Carnage yet, but
that's smart. Why give everything that people ask for up front? Get them invested in the property, start from scratch, build a good foundation, build up to that.
Is that why you have Scarecrow and Batman Begins and Joker and Dark Knight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because Batman talks like this.
Oh, speaking of, I just thought about that. I heard that Dark Knight is going back to IMAX theaters.
The 10th year anniversary of the passing of Heath
Ledger. In select cities. And Houston isn't one of them.
But I'm not surprised. Yeah. No. Which is a shame because I wanted to make plans to actually go watch it again.
But why select? It was a big enough movie. It's not like an indie flick or something. It was a huge movie. I don't know why they're doing select cities.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So, road trip?
Not for Christopher Nolan, I'm sorry. All right, so some rapid fires, I guess, on some other trailers that dropped over San Diego Comic-Con weekend. Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Did you check that one out?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, real quick. Okay, so for me, I liked the first Godzilla, and I liked how in King Kong, the Skull Island, they kind of hinted at that's kind of a thing. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. But this one... You have the classic other monsters from Godzilla's franchise in this one making their debut. I'm digging it, but I think the movie's going to be really good. But
the trailer left you something to be desired.
Yeah, yeah. Just something fell flat for me for some reason. What about you? Are you the same way? Or
I might be the wrong person to ask because I'm not all into the Godzilla lore.
I'm not the biggest fan.
The only Godzilla I remember watching was Matthew Broderick, 1998.
So not a Godzilla movie.
No. Okay. But I have read up on how one of the characters from Kong Skull Island, which was set in the 70s,
right,
is in this movie.
Oh,
and
okay.
How that's like the building of the monster universe for.
See,
for
I like
Universal.
That. You know why? It's easy to give other studios a lot of shit for trying to copy Marvel or create a look at Universal Dark Universe. You know that was a. Disaster.
That fell from the word go.
Yeah. But I like something like this because it's subtle. You know, I don't think anything was discussed for Godzilla. And then at the, it was a very like post credit scene in Skull Island. Mm-hmm. It was just the Monarch. It was the company, and they had like footage of Godzilla from the first, the last one. It's like, ah, this is genius, you know. And now this one, like you were saying, we have another character kind of, but it's not being like the forefront of everything. It's not. Yeah. They can tell their own stories, but just kind of like move some pieces here and there, and yeah. there you go. But again, going back to what I just said, I'm more looking forward to Godzilla versus King Kong than I am to this one. That makes sense. But all right, so there's Godzilla. We also have Glass, the new one from M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, which is gonna throw a lot of people off that aren't in the know, because I wasn't in the know in the beginning. The first one's Unbreakable.
Right.
The second one was Split.
Right.
And then the third one is Glass.
Right.
Like, this isn't your typical trilogy where all the, like, you just add a number at the end.
And again, you know which movie connected it is. Universes.
Connected
now,
universes, you know? Yeah. Subtly. You didn't know until at the end of freaking Split that, holy shit, this is a sequel to Unbreakable.
Right. And what it's not like that, because, again, it's subtle. I did not get subtle in this one, because all these guys are, it's all here, jumbled up together.
But on the other side of that coin, it's got my curiosity. The first thing I'm thinking is, how the fuck are all these people in the same room?
Yeah.
I want to watch this.
Yeah.
Just depends how you view it.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to watch it.
With
Shyamalan's movies, I'm always like, okay, where's the twist, or where's the whatever? Yeah. What are you going to hit me with? You know, but I kind of have that cynicism whenever I go watch one of his movies, you know?
I kind of have the feeling that Shyamalan doesn't have like the winning track record. He's got more misses than hits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe he's stop doing this twist. I don't know. It just seems weird that I don't think it should be called Glass, you know, because it makes it seem like it's all about him when clearly we have other characters all interacting.
Maybe it is about him. He's the one that
orchestrated the whole thing or something.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. But Unbreakable was a lot about him too, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just hope it's not like a force-fed type of thing, you know, where they're just trying to make everything connect, you know.
Talk to me about Patient Zero.
That's interesting. This one has Doctor Who, Matt Smith. So it's a zombie flick, and on this particular one, they're trying to communicate with zombies. And Matt Smith, he was bitten. He can understand zombies because he was bitten, but he wasn't turned. Mm-hmm. So he has a communication thing with him. They're trying to understand, and they get to the point where, and now they're trying to find patients, the first zombie.
So that they can find a cure.
Right.
Yeah.
And then,
it's pretty straightforward enough.
Yeah,
that's the kind of movie that you look like that, you think that movie needs a twist for it to be separate from every other freaking
movie. Yeah, because surely they wouldn't just
make it that cut and dry.
Yeah, yeah. So they got my curiosity, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I'll probably check it out. It's not like, oh my god, I gotta see it. But yeah, man, the trailer was a nicely cut trailer, you know. So yeah, I'll give that one a shot. Yeah. What about you?
I'm leaning barely leaning towards giving it a shot, only because I don't know if you want to call this a transition, but as far as zombies go, I kind of feel like I'm starting to get burned out on the whole idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is something we can talk about here in just a second. But there was another zombie trailer. Well, I don't think it's just zombies. I think it's like more of a supernatural thing. But Overlord.
That I did not get to see.
Oh, you easy that one. Okay.
I didn't get to see that one. So fill me in.
So by the studio Bad Robot, J.J. Abrams.
Gotcha.
We're talking 1940s, World War II, and supernatural, like zombies, monsters, everything. But the way the trailer's cut, it's really kind of cool. It starts off with Hell's Bells. Yeah. So so there you go. But yeah, it kind of starts off the way the trailer is. It's basically jumping from planes, you know, into the battlefield or whatever. And
Parachuting,
yeah. And they're getting shot down and whatnot. So it looks like just a regular World War II movie. And then you start seeing all the shit. So, and I think that kind of goes in with, like, all the, you know, the whole, you know, Hitler was into the supernatural, the occult stuff and everything else. I think it's kind of playing into that aspect. So, it looks like it could be really fun, depending on how they, you know, how violent it is or where they go with the with some of the creatures and stuff. But yeah, so we had Patient Zero, zombies, Overlord, World War II, Nazi zombies.
Yeah. If you're a fan of the old Call of Duty game where the zombie mode was in like against that's your T right
there. You go. Yeah. And Walking Dead season 9.
I'm gonna just go flat out and say it.
All right.
I'm gonna say it. Kill me for it. We're getting played.
We're getting what?
We're getting played.
Played? Okay. How are
we? We're at the fucking 9th season.
Yeah.
They had to do something to get people's attention. Right. Oh, hey, by the way, Andrew Lincoln's leaving. He's not leaving.
Oh, you don't think so?
I think this is a ploy to get people to watch. This is Fast and the Furious 8. When's Paul Walker going to die? When's Paul Walker going to die? When's Paul Walker going to die? God damn it, he didn't die! I think this is a red herring. I think they're drumming this up to get to keep the ratings where they are and not lose anymore.
Dude, if that happens, that'll backfire so bad on
people. You think so?
Yeah, dude. The fans are so, like, we're so like jaded at this point. Like anything that you could do that you're not going to deliver on, it's gonna backfire.
I think the biggest backfire would be killing off who is essentially right now the main character in your comics. So like you already fucked with people by killing off Carl, presuming we killed off Carl.
No, he's dead. Yeah.
Yeah, or he's dead. So if you're gonna like at this point, people could complain about the story all they want. If you take out the main character out of your story, it's no longer a story. It's something else.
Right.
Just if you're killing off Andrew Lincoln, fuck it. Call it a day after season 9.
Yeah.
Done. Start over.
Again. I think a lot of people have said in unison, this show begins and ends with Rick.
Yeah.
Bottom line. I mean, that's your main guy. But, I mean, it's not unheard of for long-running TV shows to switch things up and change gears. Yeah. It never really hardly ever works out.
Who's to say, okay, Andrew Lincoln's leaving. That doesn't mean the character's going to die. How many TV shows have we seen? Fuck it. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air had like how many different moms? Just have another guy. have another actor fill in as Rick and continue the story.
That'd be hammy. No.
Dude, but you, like you said, the story starts...
Okay, let me ask you this. You're throwing a lot of options. Do you care? Do you really care if they recast Rick Grimes?
I don't care.
There you go.
See? Yeah, I don't care.
Don't care.
No, I don't care as in I'm not going to get pissed off. It's like, oh my God, they're continuing the show and they got another guy to play Rick Grimes. Like, I'd be fine with another guy as Rick Grimes.
But
as
do you
long
want
as you keep the story right.
Okay, so, all right, hold on. So you still want the show to continue? Because you're making it, you're defending the show quite a bit.
From the trailer that I saw, I don't think we're getting the Whisperers in this season.
Dude, I don't read the comics. I don't even know
so,
what that is.
So, I think after that arc, it needs to go.
Okay. I don't know what that is in the comics. So.
Honestly, man, I might be in the minority in this. If you want to cancel this novel, this version of The Walking Dead, give me a fresh story with Clementine as the lead.
Okay.
From the video game.
Yeah.
Hell, he could just pull it straight from the episodes of the game and just do it live action in a TV show. I'd be all into it.
I'm surprised they never did that. You remember a few years ago they would do like those little Walking Dead shorts, like in between, like they would do, like on the webs, like little web series, like the Machete, I think was one. And I'm surprised they never did that with Clementine.
When I first heard that they were doing a spinoff of The Walking Dead, Fear of the Walking Dead, my anticipation was, oh man, if they're doing it with Clementine, I will literally stop watching The Walking Dead. That's the main flagship show, and I will just stick to this one if it was that. But it wasn't. And the fact that like now Morgan's is gonna be in this new season of Fear.
But he is. He already
is. Yeah. Still leaves out hope, but then again, that story from that point of view, 10-year-old girl, that would get a lot of people's attention to where that should be the lead, not just bring her in for a couple of seasons and then like tie her off. That should have been, you could start a brand new franchise, Walking Dead Atlanta or whatever, and just start with Clementine.
What's the under-over that they do shift gears? Because in the trailer, I got a sense that now it's like role reversal. Like Negan is almost like the almost like the martyr, you know, all of the saviors are trying to get him out, free him, and now Rick and his crew are the saviors on their, it's like a reverse point of view. And what if we get that where Rick doesn't make it out and Negan is now the star of the show? It'd be different.
It would be.
Because we're losing Andrew Lincoln, Maggie. McGaggy. Maggie.
Lauren Cohen?
Yeah, Lauren Cohen. Thank you. And Michonne, you know, supposedly. Oh. I think Michonne's leaving too. But she needs to now. I mean, she's got Black Panther money now. She can do whatever she can do whatever she wants. She don't need Walking Dead anymore. So you're leaving these. You're leaving out. And plus, Carl was for a lot of people was a good reason, because a lot of people said, okay, well, if you kill off Rick, Carl can
and it would have been
a natural. I mean,
it would have been organic. Yeah. It would have been understandable. It was like, oh, we've built up this entire series for Carl to learn from Rick's mistakes, so Carl can be a better Rick than Rick was.
Yeah.
Or Shane, or the governor.
He learned from everybody's mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the route they were going to.
And as soon as, I think that's from the moment I even heard that he was done, my interest in the show just sank like a rock.
I think everybody's did, really. For a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
because where do you go with that?
And some people were saying maybe Daryl, but Daryl's not a leading man. He's your backup dude. He's your right-hand man.
He's your Vegeta. He's not your Goku.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. As much as I love Vegeta.
What a super reference.
I see you did that. Yeah.
So Walking Dead and whatever. Okay, so a couple of things I just want to really quick wrap up. A few days before Comic-Con, there was a fan film that dropped on YouTube for Uncharted.
Starring Nathan Drake.
Yeah, it's Nathan Drake starring Nathan Fillion, who for the longest time, if you played the games of Uncharted, he like that character. You could see the characterizations of Nathan Fillion in this, the humor and the just everything,
smartasser,
almost kind of the looks was almost kind of based on it. So that was like kind of the rumor for many years, like or fan casting was like, well, if they need to make a movie, this Nathan Fillion's right here, he could do it. Yeah. And that never got off the ground. So Nathan Fillion, as a fan, he just got his friends and got a camera, and that's what you can do when you got money. Yeah. You know, you can make a little pitch. And I don't know if you play these games or not, but it was like a 15-minute movie, and
it's basically the male version of Tomb Raider, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's how the games were always like the tagline, you know, the tagline, but you know, people called it that. But it was so interesting the way they filmed everything. Like, it's kind of hard to explain without actually, if you haven't seen the game or anything like that. But they got the camera movements
like if you were playing
just
the game.
Right. As if you're playing the game, and it took me back for a second. It's like, shit, they know their shit. They're fans.
Because it worked in Doom.
No, it wasn't campy like Doom. Doom was, but the rock.
But that view, that
it wasn't first person.
It wasn't first
because
person.
Because in Uncharted, it's like third party behind the camera, the camera. But the way they moved it with him, and some of like when you take cover, the way the camera follows you down and then goes back up. It did stuff like that.
Nice. Okay.
It was really smooth. It was really clean. So I liked it. I thought I was like, all right, cool. I could dig more a little bit more of this. So maybe we'll make it like a little YouTube series or something, you know. I'd be down with that.
Or what if this is like the Ryan Reynolds effect? The leaked Deadpool footage, and look where it's at now.
If this
actually pays off and actually goes somewhere with it, that'd be badass.
If this was maybe 10 years ago, I could see that. Maybe even 5 years ago. But Nathan Fillion, unfortunately, he's kind of getting up there in the age.
It's
so.
Hollywood, man. Stunt doubles.
Then hire the stunt double.
CGI.
Yeah.
Unless there's a stunt double that has all that charisma that Nathan Fillion's got. I highly doubt.
all right. So, one last thing. It's not movies. It's not TV shows. It's not cartoons, whatever. Transformers. There is there's a big display at San Diego Comic-Con. For the new series coming out called War for Cybertron.
Siege, right?
Yeah, the Siege is the tech list. Yeah. It's like War for Cybertron, Siege, you know, because it's going to be a trilogy. Yeah. And, man, before this series came out, I told you. I said, I think I'm done. Like, I think
the evidence in your throne room of all the shit you got. And I was like, yeah, that's a good way to say goodbye.
I'm running out of space.
They got you, Vince!
They surprised me.
We have to start mounting this shit on the ceiling.
Ha ha ha.
Dude, some of the shots that you that I've seen so far of the figures, yeah.
For people who don't know, like the last 3 or 4 years, maybe, this generation's line of
Combiner Wars, Titans Returns, and now we're ending it off with Power of the Prime. This is the recent trilogy.
They've been culminating.
Yeah,
they've been redoing all the classic characters, but in modern technology, you know, modern
plastic.
Yeah, new updated molds and stuff like that, and some of them are really good. Obviously, you can see my room.
Oh yeah,
but I was like, you know what? I think I'm good. And plus, I was seeing the gimmicks for this new one. I was like, no, it's not really jiving with me. I think I'm done. And then because I was seeing like little mock-ups and like renderings and things, but then I saw the actual figures on display at Comic-Con. I was like, God damn it!
It continues.
Yeah, much to my
chagrin.
Well, I was going to say much to my wife's chagrin.
And your wallet's.
Yeah. Both of them thought I was done with this. All right.
Still hopelessly optimistic of this Bumblebee movie?
Yeah, I am.
Hopefully I'll actually have a deluxe figure of the Volkswagen. Because they're actually... Volkswagen actually finally...
the
marketing for it. You see the logo on the back of all these figures. Some of the Comic-Con stuff was really pretty.
That was another thing that came out right around this weekend was they announced the full slate of... exclusively to Walmart. The Generation 1. G1. The old classic Transformers. They're re-releasing the original Hot Rod, Starscream, Devastator. The original box set.
Art and everything. And then the little classic figures is Bumblebee, Outback, and I forget the other two.
I think Tailgate
sounds about right.
I think. But in the classic packaging, it's like replicas of the original ones. And they, I actually saw pictures of the Bumblebee one. It has
the updated head.
Well, besides that, you take it out, and the box art itself has the Volkswagen logo stamped on the package. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's because of the Bumblebee movie coming out. But, so if you're a fan, if you've been out of the loop for years of Transformers...
If Michael Bay wore you out of the Transformers, now's a good time.
If you grew up on Transformers back in the 80s, go to Walmart.com. I think they just put...
The $10 ones, the little figures... They've been popping up randomly in some Walmarts.
In Canada.
But
online is where you're going to be able to get most of them. But, I mean, shit. I mean, I
the
saw
big
the
figures are already sold out. The pre-orders are already sold out. But the little ones, you can buy some.
I think they put Hot Rod back up. He's now available again. Oh, I was thinking about getting Starscream only because this one comes with a little mini
Megatron gun
in gun mode. You put him in his hand and it like locks in his hand. Then I was like, okay, that wasn't the original one. So, I might want to get that. Anyway, I know we have, you just mentioned that Bumblebee movie coming out. I'm still looking forward to that one. They released all the toys and stuff like that as well, too. Whatever, you know. But the movie itself, I think, is more important only because it's a big, this is it. I mean, we got to see what a non-Michael Bay movie is going to look like.
And apparently this is the reset / reboot phase. So if this goes well, we get more.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I just want to see a good... a good Transformers flick that's not like where you don't have to make excuses for it. Like, oh, it's a Michael Bay flick. All right, it's a popcorn flick. You turn your brain off and you go, I don't want to.
Things go boom.
Yeah, I'm tired of having.
You're tired to defend the franchise that you like the most.
Yeah, it's like, come on, just.
Gotcha.
And I think we're on the right track with this one, and I'm hoping.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that we're gonna finally get there, but. But I think it's...
On that wavelength, I'm going to drop a little bit on you real quick.
All right.
We've went through 5 different Transformers movies before we got to this one. Since 2007.
Yeah.
Evangelion 1.11, the company that makes Neon Genesis Evangelion, the cartoon, the animated series.
It's an anime series in Japan.
They wanted to condense it into movies, 4 movies.
Right.
1.11 came out in 2007, and I think 2.22 came out in 2009, 2010. 3.3 came out 3 years ago, and apparently due to the company wanting to make Shin Godzilla, that pushed back the final chapter of that quadrilogy. They announced during Comic-Con.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for the connection to Comic-Con.
They teased a new anime that's coming out, new anime movie that the company's producing. But they did let out a tease that finally, which I don't know how this makes sense, but the title of the movie is Evangelion 1.0 plus 3.0, which would make the 4. But that encapsulates like the final chapter of this entire redo of the retelling of the
title story. Encapsulates the confusion that is that whole series.
Yeah,
that's a convoluted series, dude. Like, yeah, I gave up on it a long time ago.
And I even told myself I'm not watching the original stuff until I get closure on this, then watching it to get some context to see what works and what doesn't work.
I know what I saw at San Diego Comic Con that grabbed my attention. Voltron, season 7 trailer.
They're already at fucking season 7?
Yeah, but
they're gonna introduce like a gray lion or a gold lion or something.
No,
they've been trying to tease a sixth.
It says like 7 seasons, but these seasons are like 5 episodes here, 7 episodes here. Gotcha. I think what I'm looking at the way the structure of these seasons are, like seasons like 2 and 3 is actually 2, and I think they just broke it off in this
like 2.5,
and then like 4 and 5 is like 3, you know, or mm-hmm. you know, it's broken off. So they're smaller, which is smart by Netflix. Yeah. They drop everything at the same time. So, hey, I'm all for it, man. I thought the last season was going to be it because it kind of like tied off everything in the whole since the beginning. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're getting new stuff. And that's a wonderful show. Like, as good as Young Justice is, like Voltron is like getting up there with Young Justice.
Really?
Yeah.
You covet Young Justice very highly.
I do.
So that coming from you means something.
I appreciate good animation and good story, mm-hmm. stories. And those have both. Yeah.
Anybody that's still waiting, that final chapter comes out 2020 for the fourth part of Evangelion.
Nobody has patience for that. Nobody has patience for that.
I would have said that until we got our hands on Super. I realized how patient that we really can be.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Supers are...
You forget about GT with Super, which the Broly movie, they're reintroducing Broly into the universe for this next Dragon Ball Super movie that's coming out in December. Yeah. But I think even by then... Through Cartoon Network on the local side, the Super series isn't going to be finished, which is going to suck. Because you need to finish Super before we get into Broly. So everybody on the west of the world has already seen it.
The movies don't tie into the series.
Well, usually the movies are retold in the series.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Battle of the Gods was retold in season 1, and then Resurrection F was done season 2 or season 3?
I don't know. Yeah, so, Super's doing that different. But in Dragon Ball Z, it was all... I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, we're
dude, we got lost on a tangent.
We're talking to ourselves at this point.
Oh, I thought we were since we hit record.
I hit record, right? Okay, yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm surprised we got an hour and a half out this mug.
There's a lot of stuff that came out of this. San Diego Comic-Con, man. Come on. It's like the biggest weekend for nerd culture, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. I think that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for, if you're still here, thanks for tuning in. If you haven't done so already, check us out and subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a rate and review. Check us out on, besides, I said iTunes, but you know, anywhere else that you get your podcast from, hit the download button, subscribe to us. We greatly appreciate it. Check us out on social media at facebook.com/popculturerewind. Instagram too. I'm doing pictures at least 2 or 3 times in LA. So I try to anyways, but that's fun. It's fun. Just throwing up random shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's it for this week, this month, whatever.
We'll see you in 2020 with an in-depth review of Evangelion.
No, we
1 through 4.
No, we won't. All right. So until next time, always remember to pop your culture. Coming like a nightmare. We're like, I'm gonna go for it. Fucking around, and what you got to show for it? Let it be known that I'm in the zone. And whatever I need, I just pick up the phone. Cause I'm true with it, you're new with it. I just swing the thing, and then I'm through with it. I don't need friends to act like foes. Cause I'm Nick Hexon, the one who knows about things. Cause it takes two, and we swing. Better than you, then it's time for the dub. And we'll roll to the club, and you know just what I do. I'm hitting in a freak mode. Putting on a load, sipping on getting a bit longer home. Ooh, the beat's gone from bottom to top, and I just can't stop. Do you love a show, then the air is verified. Don't give a damn, cause the groove is hella fine. Grew up punk, listening to funk. I'm a hyper type of fella that does not touch junk. For the back of the pack, at the bottom of the stack.
Get the facts, what you get when you're dead, you talk the shit. Knock off the cell, shit is on shelf, it's 9 to 5. We go for the high. Listen at the bitch, you're gonna bump to this. And if I'm feeling mean, I'm gonna clutch my fist. Now when I say mean, I mean I'm gonna rock it. but actually you're a jocker. You're bad mouthing bitch, man, you're giving me juice. It ain't nothing but a party, everybody get loose. You know just what I don't do, it's stress step to me. Whatever you complain, so sue me. I say fuck the naysayers, I keep going. Gotta do what I gotta do to get the people home. So let everyone gather, the more the better. I represent the traveler, him, he's just trying to come.
I need to switch yourself, man, I'm trying to please me. I'm just taking favors quickly.
This felt good.
Yeah.
This felt really good.
Yeah.
So when are we doing the next one?
Well, Comic-Con is a yearly thing, right?
So, next year.
We'll come back next year, right?
Look at how we squeeze in an end-of-the-year episode before then.
Yeah. I need to start watching stuff. I'm so behind on everything.
Now that I have internet in my apartment, I have no excuse. Well, besides the monthly subscriptions and stuff.
Well, you've been watching movies, though. Like you probably watch more movies than I have at this point.
14 this year!
Yeah.
14!
That's like your last like 3 years put together.
I know, yeah. Hmm. What's on my list, hopefully a Redbox has it. I want to watch the first Equalizer movie because I heard good things about it.
I have it now. I'm going to watch it.
And because I want to catch part two before it leaves the theater.
Yeah. Looks good.
In all my history, I don't remember a bad Denzel Washington movie.
I'm sure there's one out there.
Oh, no. All the ones I've seen, I freaking love.
Yeah.
Training Day, Inside Man, American Gangster.
Man on Fire.
John Q.
Yeah.
I know there's more.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
We're on the spot, so yeah. Why can't we cast him as a black superhero?
Because King Kong don't have nothing on him.
That's a triple threat I want to see. King Kong, Godzilla, Denzel. Book it. Make it happen.
My money's on Denzel.
Black don't crack.
Shoot the kneecaps.
Bye. Let's go.
Yeah.